Our study tonight is in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Christ's identity as God's worldwide Savior by His priority on spiritual matters. The Apostle Paul urged Timothy not to become distracted by civilian affairs, that he might fulfill the calling of his commanding officer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if Christ Himself is God's true Savior of the world, we should expect him to have made one's relationship with God his first priority in life, a truth that is evident in his visit to the home of Mary and Martha. What's interesting is that, and I haven't realized this until I studied it this week, that the priority that Jesus was teaching here also had a priority within the various commands of God. There are certain things that God commands us that are more important than other things that He commands us. And it's a very revealing thing. A lot of times we as Christians feel that we have to do all of that equally, and we have a tendency to get overworked. But the Lord provides a tremendous bit of insight in this passage. I want to read it, and then we'll look at it in depth. Luke chapter 10, begin at verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted, literally, about much serving, and came to Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. And Martha has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Okay, to appreciate the events that are briefly discussed in this passage, we have to understand the setting. That it involved a very special time, the Feast of Tabernacles, when preparations were very extensive. The Feast of Tabernacles put about as much a burden on a Jewish woman as Thanksgiving does on an American woman in our culture today. And I want to describe this so you get a picture. This isn't just a typical meal where Jesus came over some Sunday afternoon. We're talking about a very extensive spread. Alfred Edersheim's authoritative work, and remember he was an Orthodox Jew who accepted Christ as his Savior, and he wrote a very authoritative book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. He indicates that Jesus' Luke 10 visit to the home of Martha and Mary came at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles occurs about the time when we have the men's retreat. It's a beautiful time of the year, outdoors, and that's when people lived in these booths outdoors. But there was a lot of work involved. As such, the stipulations of the law and cultural practices made it a very busy time to host a guest. According to Leviticus 23:42, Israel was supposed to live in makeshift booths for 7 days during this feast. Now, what they would do, they would build a booth out of sticks and so forth, the joint, and then they would cover these with palm branches or branches of fruit trees and so forth. And there was stipulation in the Mishnah how this had to cover so that you wouldn't let sun in, and yet it had to be airy so people could live and breathe in. Now, two booths were built in this particular home setting. Apparently, this was a wealthy home, so what you had the house, and then you had a courtyard, an enclosed courtyard with a wall around it. And this booth would have been in the courtyard to allow a certain amount of privacy. Nevertheless, it was out of doors. But there were two booths. One served as a sitting apartment in the courtyard where the hosts and the guests, both men and women, would sit during the day. So if you had these guests here, it had to be fairly big. It probably would have covered the area about where we're sitting here tonight. Big enough booth where you could have a number of people that were sitting there. Now, another booth was built for Jesus to use at night for sleeping while the sisters slept in the house. Men and women would not sleep together in the same room unless it was a husband or wife situation. So these were sisters. They would sleep indoors in the house. Jesus would sleep in a special booth. It would be a separate booth from the booth where everybody, men and women, met together. And that would be kind of like a private booth. Now, Deuteronomy 16:13-14 taught that the people of Israel were to rejoice in this feast with family, servants, widows, orphans, Levites, and foreigners. In other words, it would not be uncommon at all to invite a couple of Levites over, a couple of orphans, and foreigners along with family. So you're not just serving a meal for Jesus. You might have 8 or 10 other people at this feast. Because you're supposed to, it's like it's Thanksgiving. You invite not only your family, but maybe other family, maybe some a neighbor or someone who's less fortunate. So you have a big spread. And this is going on for a week. This isn't just one Thanksgiving meal. This is going on for a week. Now, if some of these people were present, there was a lot more than just Jesus, Mary, and Martha at the meal. Now, the Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. We know this from John chapter 11. There's no mention of him or Jesus' disciples, so they were likely celebrating the feast in Jerusalem. It was not uncommon at all for men in that particular area who were close to Jerusalem just to decide to get together with the other men in a very patristic culture, and they would meet in huge enclaves of men in the city of Jerusalem. They just worshiped the Lord there and so forth. So they weren't there to help the women at all. Now, with the preparations of the meal involved in the Luke 10:38-42 setting, Mary and Martha would have needed to scurry back and forth between the house where the utensils for serving were usually located and the booth in the courtyard where the meal would like to be served. Can you imagine as a woman trying to serve a Thanksgiving meal? This is for the Feast of Tabernacles. You're outdoors in a booth, and you're scurrying between the kitchen and outdoors. All of the utensils, the cooking, the food, all of that stuff had to be carted back and forth. So there's a lot of serving that would go on in something like this. Especially, you're not only having Jesus there, but you've got maybe a household full of other people. So this was the time when, if you're going to get good and nervous and uptight as a woman, this was the time to do it. You know, it's just one of those things. Well, from the text, we know that Martha gave herself exclusively to the serving duties required for the occasion of the Feast of Tabernacles, while Mary gave a priority to fellowship with the Lord at his feet, even above these important and even biblical duties. Now, Martha's commitment to the serving effort literally distracted her. It's the Greek word peraspao, and it means that she had her mind so focused on making the real meal just right, that everything is cooked just right, the utensils are out there, that she got distracted by that to the point where she was not focusing on relating to Jesus at all. She was focusing on the importance of getting this meal done. Now, Mary apparently was helping her at first, but she stopped because it says that she also sat at Jesus' feet. The implication is she might have been serving, then she stopped serving in order to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him teach. Well, because of the distraction, this distraction led to frustration, both with Mary and even with the Lord himself. So finally, Martha finally complained to the Lord. You notice in verse 40, Martha was cumbered or distracted with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" See, she could have addressed Mary and said, "Mary, why aren't you helping me?" But she was thinking about it. Wait a minute. He's the Lord. He knows better than that. So let's blame the one who's really at fault, the Lord here. Of course, she's not thinking that the Lord is the Lord Jesus. He's not at fault in anything. And so she says, "Lord, don't you even care that my sister has left me alone?" So then she does the ultimate thing. She tells the Lord, "Lord, you tell her to help me." Can you imagine telling the Lord of glory, "Now, God, you tell her to help me"? Sometimes you might feel like that. You get into frustration. You might even have prayed that way. But this is what she told the Lord. Now, Jesus responded with tremendous grace. You'll notice where he says, "Martha, Martha." We can tell because he repeats her name that he said it, "Martha, Martha." You know, oku. In the Yoruba language in Nigeria where I grew up, oku means cool it. Oku. And he's, "Martha, Martha." He knew that Martha was working herself into a tither, but she was going to wait until she spoke up before he addressed this. But he addressed her very kindly in a way. He didn't want to put her down in front of the guests, but since she had gone after him, he corrected her. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." See, that's the problem. You got distracted by all these other duties. And a lot of these duties are required by the law because you're supposed to be outdoors. You have to keep the booths up and all these things. But one thing is necessary. What he meant is one thing has priority. and that is your fellowship with me. Your fellowship with me cannot be upstaged even by other duties that you have to do in fulfilling the law. That's a tremendous lesson. Martha has chosen that good part. The good part is sitting at the feet of Jesus in fellowship with the Lord, which shall not be taken away from her. In other words, he says, there's no way I'm going to tell Mary to get up and help you. She has chosen to fellowship with me. That is so important. I'm not about to tell her to get up and help. She can sit here. And the implication was, Martha, you too need to just slow down and come here and sit at my feet. And when it's time to eat, maybe we can get some others to help, but right now, this is important. This takes priority. Tremendous lesson. Jesus said this part would not be taken from her, that he would not make Mary help Martha at the cost of sitting at his feet to fellowship with him. There's a huge lesson here. And often we like to apply this to ladies, but I'll tell you what, men need this just as much. Christ clearly put the priority of one's fellowship with God above all other very good and even biblical callings in life, such as preparing for the Feast of Fellowship of the Tabernacles, revealing that he is a holy God's true Savior of the world. Thus, we also should follow Mary's example and put our spiritual fellowship with God above all other callings in life. So in application, may we trust in Christ as God's true Savior of the world. Then may we subject all other callings, regardless how important or even biblical, to the highest calling of true fellowship with the Lord. And then, if we are frustrated in our walk, we have somehow replaced fellowship with God with other things and must return to fellowship with God that our service actions might be true and truly effective. Dare I say, sometimes we can be so caught up in serving the Lord that we let our fellowship with the Lord fall. And that's a subtle thing. We can fall into that, but we can fall into it. I know I've fallen into it a number of times myself. And the Lord indicates, Don, you forgot me. Your fellowship with me takes priority over pastoring New Pog Church. Because if you're not fellowship with me, you don't have anything to feed the people. You have to work out of relationship with me. And that's what the Lord Jesus is telling here. So when we get to the point where we're frustrated, we've got to stop. We've got to pull back and get back with the Lord. We get back with him. And that's more important to him. We've got to drop other things and go with him. We have a tendency to think that busyness is godliness. Not necessarily so. Godliness is something that comes with our relationship with the Lord. God doesn't want us to work harder. He wants us to work smarter. He wants us to be in fellowship with him. And then when we're teaching out of a heart that's full with our relationship with the Lord, then when we're serving, then when we're helping or doing something else out of a heart that's full, then we've got something to give. And then we have a service that really counts for the Lord. Okay, this is effective, but like I said, I was not aware how extensive we were trying to obey Scripture. But she got distracted by a lot of cares that took away from the Lord, and that's a big problem. God help us to keep our priorities straight.